I always wanted to know what it would be like to be, get up and preach after the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
There you go.
There you go,
brother.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to have to bear with me for a minute. I am not Jim Cimbala. For those who don't know, Jim Cimbala is a phenomenal pastor, Brooklyn Tabernacle. They started back in the 70s. I know Pastor Marty has listened to them a lot. Tommy's listened to him quite a bit. A lot of people ask me, well, what pastors do you listen to? Jim Cimbala is one of those pastors that I listen to a lot because he encourages me so much. Matter of fact, when I went on my sabbatical in 2022, when I was at the end, I read his book called Through the Flame. One of our church members sent it to me and challenged me to read it. Well, I was on there. But he is a man who ministers to my heart. The choir ministers to me. But Tommy doesn't realize what he did this morning by playing that song, because it actually segues exactly into what we're going to be dealing with today. Music has always been a powerful thing in my life. I love music. I love to listen to music. Matter of fact, when Jennifer and the boys go to bed, a lot of times I get my Beats headphones on and I blast it out. Matter of fact, if Jennifer comes down the steps, she can hear what I'm listening to. That's how loud it is. But I absolutely love music. One of the reasons I love music so much is because music has a way of bringing back memories in our life. And what Tommy don't know, when Jennifer reached over and grabbed my arm, y'all sung that song at my ordination. And when I think about what I'm about to say to y'all today, I'm just like, okay, God, I'm listening. Now use me to speak. So let's dig into this. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 3. I always struggle in summertime about what to preach on, because I am a suppository preacher, as some people have called me. I will get it into you one way or another. No, I am an expository preacher, so I like to go book by book through the Bible. I love to dig into the books of the Bible, go all the way through them. It forces me to preach on scriptures that I normally probably, if I were to pick and choose what I'm going to preach on, some scriptures I wouldn't preach on because it makes me uncomfortable. But doing an expository preaching, it makes me dig into this. So over the summer, I always try to bounce it off with some topical messages, and I struggle with topical messages. I really struggle with it. But as I was thinking about it a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking about, you know, just the power of music. And a couple of years ago, I did a series through summer, and I called it The Summer of Songs. We bounced through different psalms, and I thought, you know what? It's been so long, they don't remember what I preached on, undo it again. But I am not preaching the same sermons. So this week, just to get ready for this, I sent a text out to a bunch of our younger generation, and I asked them, tell me a song that reminds you of summer. Y'all got those songs in your mind? I mean, seriously, we all have those songs that can play, and it just reminds you of summer. So I was actually kind of impressed by some of the responses I got. I got some songs from Bob Marley. I'm watching you. Whew. I got some songs from the Beach Boys. I couldn't believe some of our younger generation even knows who the Beach Boys are. I got one reply for Tears for Fears. I could not believe that. I even asked Connor, I said, are you listening to your daddy's cassette tapes? But by the best reply that I got, was my Jordan. She didn't even bat an eye. She sent back Ice Ice Baby. And I'm like, and don't give her a hard time, because she stopped, she collaborated and listened. But it warmed my heart to hear all these songs that some of our younger generation were talking about, because they were songs that reminded me of summer. It reminded me of times in my past. The other responses that I got, I'll just be honest with you, I didn't know what the songs were. I looked some up. I had to listen to some. Me and Jennifer spent a lot of time Monday night listening to a lot of different songs. And you know what? I realized how old I am. Wow. But I also realized some other things. How much this generation has missed out on that my generation got to be a part of. You see, things were different when we grew up. We didn't always have the availability to have the music that we love to listen to. We had these things called radios. And we had to wait for the song that we wanted to listen to come on the radio. And some of us would sit there, and some of you are going to be able to identify with this. Some of us would sit there with our radio, which had a recorder on it, cassette recorder. That is an old tape. Okay? And when that song would come on, we would hit record. How many did that? Oh, look at them. Look at them. Y'all miss out on that. And if it took a long time for that song to come on, we would do something very bold. We'd sit there and we'd find out the number to the radio station, and we would call 96 Rock until they answered. How many did that? Well, maybe not 96 Rock, but some other station. You actually did that. We had to do that. And then when we would go on road trips, it was not like road trips that y'all have to where you can get your iPod. Y'all don't even have iPods anymore. Wow. We just have phones. And we would make a, let me help y'all with this. We would make a playlist, but we had to put this playlist on a cassette tape. How many of you either made or owned a mixtape? Let's see your hands. Oh yeah. You're my people. You are my people. See, y'all missed out on so much. Y'all missed out. Jennifer reminded me of Tuesdays. Y'all remember what was big about Tuesdays growing up? Tuesday was the day that new CDs and cassettes would release. So we would go to Walmart. We had to go all the way to Murphy. But we would go to Walmart and get it and just sit there and listen to it all night long. Why? Because music was important to us. And it still is important to us today. I wish I had some of the mixtapes that I used to have. I really do. But as I was sitting here thinking about this, or sitting at home thinking about this, one question popped to my head. You know, because we would make these mixtapes, and sometimes, I know, guys, this is going to sound dorky. We would give these mixtapes to people we loved. How many of you ladies ever got a mixtape? Raise your hand high, high, high. I am sorry that some of you ladies were not loved enough to get a mixtape. How dare those people? But I was sitting there thinking, if God could make us a mixtape, what songs would be on it? And that's how this whole idea conspired about coming back to a summer of songs. Because songs are important to us. Music brings back things in our life, memories in our life that sometimes we forget. Just like I'm sitting there listening to that song and my ordination comes to mind. Then Jennifer comes over and grabs my arm and says, "Isn't this the song we sung at your ordination?" And sometimes I wish there were songs that could do that for my spiritual life. But the reality is this. God did make us a mixtape. This mixtape consists of 150 songs. 150 individual songs that he has had written out, put before us, so that we can use it to build our faith. So, as I looked at this, I thought about, okay, what kind of music are we going to look for? We're going to look for vacation music. We're going to look for love songs. We're going to look for upbeat songs. We're going to look for relaxing songs. We're going to look for those nighttime songs. Y'all remember those? the songs that you listen to at night that help you go to sleep. But first, we're going to start it off, and this is the most important one we're going to start off with. We're going to start off with morning songs. How many of you need help waking up? How many of you drank a pot of coffee before you left the house this morning? Amen. How many of you grabbed a Red Bull this morning? Or a Celsius, or a Bang, or a Monster, or a... Marty, what was it you used to drink?
A Red Bull guy.
A Red Bull guy. There was another one you used to drink. It's called by Mountain Dew. But regardless, we need help waking up. We need help waking up. And sometimes music has the ability to help us wake up. So, lo and behold, I just started thumbing through the Psalms and I started saying, is there a morning song? And lo and behold, Psalm 3 comes out. A lot of people argue about, is this a morning song or is this a nighttime song? And I will give you a little bit of evidence to show you that this is a morning song, but it's also the backstory that helps us understand that it is a morning song. You've already heard it once, so in Psalms 3, let's hear it again, but let's hear it from God's word. And this is what Psalm 3 says. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are they that rise up against me. Many are they saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. We just heard that. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain, and I lay down and I sleep. I awake, for the Lord has sustained me. I will not be afraid of the 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God, for you have smitten all of my enemies on the cheek, and you have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings be upon your people. Let's pray. Father, you know us. Sometimes I think we forget that you know us better than we know ourselves. And just like this morning, Lord, I'm thankful for the way that you have wired us to respond to music. Just like this morning, you bringing back the memories of the song that was sung at my ordination, a song that I'm getting to preach this morning. I'm thankful to see how this song has lived out in my life. Father, this morning as we dig into this, I pray that you would help us to see and understand the true meaning behind this song when David is writing it. But at the same time, Lord, I ask that you would help us to apply it to our own lives. Because, Lord, the reality is this. We need to wake up. Most of us go day by day. One eye open. Just trying to make it. Some of us wake up dreading the day that is before us. This morning, Lord, I pray that you would use this song to set a memory in our life of something new and fresh that we need to wake up to every day. Bless the reading of your word. Bless the words that are spoken this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love that. My gosh, love that. They got the Bibles out. They got the notebooks out. They're playing tic-tac-toe. We're good. A good morning song is important. I love music. I love music that pumps me up in the morning. It's funny because every once in a while, I'll take the boys to school. And whenever I take the boys to school, we always play some very loud music. I get them pumped up. I get them energized for school. But when it came to the last day of school, I had the privilege of picking them up. And I told them that morning, I am going to pull up and pick y'all up to Alice Cooper's School's Out for Summer. You ought to have seen the shock on their dad. Don't do that, Dad. Don't. And they know I would do it. So when they got in the car, they didn't even notice that I had it playing just very, very lightly. But at the same time, a good song energizes you, pumps you up, and gets you motivated. And this is important in the morning, because when we wake up in the morning, all of us are automatically thinking about what our day is going to consist of. And a good morning song lays it on you. It just helps you to get motivated and move forward. It doesn't sugarcoat things. It just puts them out there. While the lyrics might be a little bit confusing by what we read, when we look at the context of what David is going through, it helps us to understand exactly what is going on in David's life. You know, a long time ago, MTV used to actually play music. How many remember those days? Yeah, I miss those days. Now they want to play politics and ideology, and I just brushed them off a long time ago. But they used to do these series called Behind the Music. Any of y'all remember those? Where they would talk to the artists, they would talk to the people, and they would actually get the backstory of why they wrote the song. So for us to really understand this, we got to get the backstory of what's going on here. David is facing a very difficult time. And this isn't a difficult time like we have. This is a very hard time. You see, David has a son. His son's name is Absalom. And Absalom has a daddy complex, okay? Let's just say it that way. He has daddy issues. And he has daddy issues to the degree that not only does he not want to deal with his daddy, he actually wants to take over his daddy's position. And the only way to take over a king's position is by what? Death. When you sit here and think about that, that really puts a lot of context to what he is going through. Not only does Absalom rise up against him, something else happens. It says there, listen to what he says. Oh Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. And the many that were rising up against him were not people that David thought would actually rise up against him. Matter of fact, if you read it in 2 Kings, you find out that many of the people that were rising up against him were his own friends. So not only does David have his son wanting to kill him, now many of his friends are wanting to kill him as well. David does what David does. Just like when Saul was after him, David goes on the run. He takes his mighty men with him, and they're weeping. They're mourning. They're not mourning because they're scared. They're mourning because of this situation that has taken place and how his son has come so strongly against him. Well, a morning comes, or actually a night comes first. A night comes to where one of those people who used to be on David's side asks Absalom for permission to take his men and go after David. And at morning, they will fight David and his mighty men, and they will sustain and grab hold of his authority, and Absalom will be king. Word gets back to David. David knows what is coming. And when David wakes up that morning, that is the first thing that is on his mind. This is the morning that my worst fear becomes reality. We all have those mornings, don't we? Maybe not to this degree. Let's just be honest. Not to this degree. But we have those mornings where we wake up where we just absolutely dread the day that is before us. We may have a difficult day at work. We may have a difficult day at school. We may have some conflict going on in our family. We may have to face some consequences that we really didn't want to face. We may have to deal with things and people that we never intended on dealing with. And when we wake up, we wake up with dread in our heart. And that's the way David is starting off this psalm. But he's also starting it off because not only is he letting this song lay it on us, he's also doing what he should do with his burdens. He's laying his burdens on God. Many of us, when we wake up, let's just be real. Let's be honest. Let's be extremely honest. How many of you would be honest and tell me that the first thing that you think about when you wake up is God? My hands are in my pocket. Matter of fact, that we live in a day today where most of us, the first thing that we do when we wake up is we pick up this. And sometimes, yes, I will agree. This is most people's alarm clock. I don't think they sell alarm clocks. Y'all missed out on that too. We used to have these alarm clocks. You wake them up, set them to wake you up to the radio. I used to hook speakers to mine. I mean big speakers to mine. My mom hated it because she could hear it from one side of the house to the other side of the house when my alarm clock went off. Reason being, I needed help waking up. But we don't think about the things that we really should think about. David has nowhere else to turn. This is the day that the battle is about to take place. So what does he do? He lays it all on God. Sure, we have these mornings, difficult mornings. We have experienced similar family hardships. And sometimes we've even had friends back them up. But the one thing that most of us never do, including myself, is we don't do what David also says in Psalms 55, verse 22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Do we believe that? We've read it. We've heard it. We've heard God tell us that he will never leave us or forsake us. We know that God is with us wherever we go. But why is it when things get so difficult, especially mornings get so difficult, the last thing that we turn to is the one who is always there with us? You know, guys, we need to learn to be able to get real with God. He already knows it. You know there's nothing in your head that is hidden from him, right? That sandwich you're thinking about right now is not hid from him. Cook's Country Kitchen, that thought in your mind is not hid from him. That thunderstorm that came through your house last night, it is not hid from him. The things that you're going to be dealing with tomorrow are not hid from him. Nothing is hid from him. And all he wants is us to lay it on him. Lay it on him. Cast our burdens on him. When we lay our problems before God, do you know what we realize? We realize that our God is a lot bigger than our problems. You see, we make our problems bigger than what they are. Why? Because that's what we're focusing on. And that's how messed up my focus is. How about you? Not only does a good morning song just lay it on you, a good morning song has a very, very, very strong rhythm. When I was looking it up the other morning, I was looking at morning songs. And one of the morning songs that come up was a Beatles song. Here Comes the Sun. How many of y'all heard that song? It starts off like, here comes the sun, do-do-do-do, here comes the sun, it's all right, da-da-da-da-da. That's not a song I want to wake up to. Matter of fact, when I first heard that song a long time ago, I was like, man, that's a good song to go to sleep to, ain't it, right there? That's a good song to go to sleep to. But what's funny is if you really listen to the song, You can hear that they were having a real issue with Ringo in the background because he was trying to bash it out on those drums, and you can actually tell that they bring the volume down because he's rocking it out on those drums. He's trying to make that a real morning song. It's got rhythm. It's got beat. When they take it down, and I found out this is actually true. If you listen to the last part, you can actually hear that was Ringo. He was mad because they brought the drums down, so he started throwing hand claps while they were singing. Get some rhythm in here, boys. A good morning song has to have a lot of rhythm because it has to energize you. It has to pump you up. And you know what? Our life is the same way. Our life has a tempo, a beat by which we go by. And this is what controls every aspect of our life. Have you ever noticed if you wake up in a bad mood, what happens most of the times? You stay in a bad mood. Why? Because the tempo of your day has already been set. Have you ever woke up in one of those moods where you're just, man, this is a great day. You wake up, you go, hey baby, how you doing? What are you so happy about? You go in there to the kids. You just have those days to where the tempo is just set right. And tempo is extremely important in our life. So what is our tempo? That's a good question. And David gives us a good understanding of what our tempo is. In verse 3, he says this, "But you, O Lord, you're a shield for me. You're my glory and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down, I slept," evidence for this being a morning song, "I woke up, for the Lord sustained me, and I will not be afraid of the 10,000 people who have set themselves around me." Think about that for a minute. Because he starts off with laying all his problems before the Lord. And then he moves to, while his problems are big, he starts focusing on how big God is. How much God has already done for him. You know, it's funny. We can always remember the bad things that have happened in our life, but we really have to sit down and think about all the good stuff that's happened, don't we? Why is that? Some people say, well, it's the way we're wired. No, it's not the way we're wired. It's the tempo that we're following. Let's just face it. Most of us expect the worst to happen today, don't we? We expect the worst thing that could possibly happen to happen today. We set the tempo. We set the mood. We set how things are going to go. And all of us have those days. Huge problems. Significant problems. But when we set our tempo with dread, here's what we're really setting our tempo with. Fear. Did David have a right to be scared? Let me let you down on this. If David were to come face to face with Absalom, what would have had to happen? There'd been a battle. And in that battle, you know what David would have had to make a choice of? Am I going to fight? Or am I going to let him kill me? Parents, put yourself in that place for a minute. Put yourself in that place for a minute. Your son, your daughter, come up against you. To the point to where it's going to be blows. And you know that he is either going to kill me or I'm going to have to kill him. You know the first thing that goes to my mind? Fear. What do I do? What do I do with this reality of this situation? What do I do? when my son comes up against me and I know I'm put in a position to fight. And David almost gives in. Because you know what fear does? Fear paralyzes us. It stops us dead in our tracks. Matter of fact, fear stops us from living. Let's say how well y'all know me. What's my biggest fear? Woo, y'all good. Y'all good. Boys come along, they like Ferris wheels. And they don't like just any Ferris wheel. They like those big Ferris wheels. The one at Myrtle Beach. The one in Panama City. The one in, well, I'm not going to tell them there's one down there because they'll want to go more. But they love these Ferris wheels. So as a dad, it's kind of funny because we want to go on the Ferris wheel. But Dad's not going to go. So being dad, I've got to do what I got to do. I got to muster up the courage, get in the Ferris wheel, and I look at the horizon, and nobody's allowed to say anything in that cart. Not a dad, Jim. Did you ever say, look at that? Nope, look at that. Looking right over there. That's all, as far as I'm looking. I'm looking at the horizon. That's all I'm going to look at. I'm not looking down. I'm not looking around. If I look down, I'm probably going to pass out or have a heart attack, and it ain't going to be good. It ain't going to be good. We went to South Africa, and we went to Table Mountain. I loved how beautiful Table Mountain was. And there's this picture of all of our team that went to South Africa on this ledge. It wasn't glass, was it? No, it wasn't glass. It was just rock. It was just rock. And it's funny because you see, Heather, Melissa, Joey, Zoe, you see Philip and Teresa, you see everybody there on the edge of that cliff. And then over here, way up on the rock, they're back there on the ledge. Here I am in this picture. It is the funniest thing I have ever seen. I hate heights. And a lot of times heights have stopped me from living life. But there come a time to where I had to realize how foolish that is. Am I really going to let a fear of heights rob me from an opportunity that my boys want to do, even though it's a Ferris wheel? No. For those who don't know, I always picture that Ferris wheel coming off the axle and start rolling down the ocean. I don't know why. Told you we're wired to think of the wrong thing. But what had to happen? I had to make a choice. That is what David's doing right here. David's making a choice. I know what's about to come up against me. I know what I'm about to face. I know I'm about to face my worst fear. My worst fear. But instead of allowing it to paralyze me, I'm going to choose to live. You know, I think this is the one thing that's holding the church back more than anything. We get stuck in our routines. We get stuck in our ruts. And we try to stay in the safe zones because that's the way we've always done it. And we allow fear to stop us from taking the gospel to where it's never been taken before. Why are we choosing fear? Do we truly believe with all of our heart that God has already won the victory? Let me ask you this. We just got done with 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says this. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Do we trust Him? You see, because in the morning, we got to lay it all out before God. We got to be real with Him. But at the end of laying all that out there, we've also got to trust Him. Our salvation is based on what? Trust. Trust. That is what our salvation is based on. So do we just trust Him for that? Or do we trust him for the rest of our lives? It's hard. It's hard. Every day we have to make a choice. Every day we have to choose victory or we choose fear, which is defeat. So, a good morning song not only lays it out for you, not only has a strong rhythm, but a good morning song always has a beckoning call. Let's turn to these last two verses for a minute. Because David says some pretty harsh words here. Listen to this. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. Some of your translations say you have struck their jaw. Okay? And the other one says, and it goes on to say, and you have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Man, there is nothing more painful to me than think about shattering teeth. Think about that for a minute. Just imagine your teeth absolutely being shattered. That is a grueling thing to think about. So let me ask you this. David's saying this, and he's saying this about his son Absalom. Does David want his son dead? No. No, David does not want his son dead. Matter of fact, if you look at the Jewish context of what he is saying, it's actually not as violent as we read it to be. To be smacked on the jaw, that was hard. Probably needed it. To be smacked on the jaw is a sign of humiliation, because most of the time when you were smacked on the jaw, you were not smacked with the front, you were smacked with the back of your hand. That's why when Jesus says, a lot of people don't know this, Jesus says if somebody strikes you on the right cheek, do you know how hard it is for a right-handed person to strike somebody on the right cheek? Because it's a backhanded slap. If somebody strikes you on the right cheek, give them your left. It's a sign of humiliation. It's a sign of humbleness. And what David is saying is, Lord, please humble my son. Well, what's with the shattering of teeth? Well, he goes on in Psalms 55 to say the same thing, talking about, make my enemies like a toothless lion. In other words, God, take the bite out of them. Take all the bite that they have away from them. I want to ask you a question. If a lion has no teeth, is it as scary? No, because it can't eat you. It might gum you to death. I mean, I'm not sure what that'd feel like, but that'd be interesting. But all fear is taken away from it. And while we look at this and we say, man, David's being harsh. David's being harsh to his son. What he's asking is, Lord, please take all of these things that my son is dealing with and take them away from him. Because what David is beckoning for, the beckon call that David is longing for, is something that we don't really think to ask for. I want to ask you a question. When is the last time that you prayed for peace? When I asked myself that question on Friday, I'm going to be honest with you. I could not think of one time ever before in my life that I ever asked for God to give me peace. I've asked him to throat punch my enemies. I've asked him to bash them across the shins. I've asked him to take this away from me. Take this away from me. Don't allow me to go through this, Lord. Lord, help me to figure a way out of this. But the beckoning call that David is presenting to the Lord is, this is coming. I know it's coming. I know I've got to go through it. The one thing I need from you, Lord, is I need peace. I need peace. That's how we need to start off every day. Asking God for peace in our lives. Why? Let's just be real. Our lives are turmoil. Our lives are hectic. Our lives are crazy. Do you know who we have to blame for that? Us. God doesn't make your Google Calendar. God doesn't make your schedule. God doesn't make any of those things. And if he did, you know what the first thing on that schedule would be? Him. Him. David's going through the worst situation of his life. And the one thing that he's asking from God is something that I rarely ask for. God, give me peace as I go through this difficult day. So what does that peace mean? Do you have peace knowing that you are right with God? I mean, honestly, do you genuinely have peace knowing that you're right with God? Because there's so many people in this world who think, well, I believe I'm saved, but I also believe that God's mad at me. If God's angry towards you, there's a good chance salvation's really not in your repertoire. Why? Because God extends love to his children, not anger. Well, I've been chastened, and I've been punished. God does what to the people he loves? He chastens. He punishes. Just because you got a little smack on the cheek. Ooh, that was loud. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. And you see, the real peace that you're looking for is not just peace in your day-to-day conflict. It's actually peace with your relationship with him. So how do we get that? The only way to really obtain peace with God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. And there's some of you today, I'm not going to say many, but there's some of you today that you really don't have peace in your life because you don't have peace with God. Because you have never made Jesus central aspect of your relationship with God. You've never trusted in the death the death on the cross. You've never trusted that should have been you. You've never believed that he did that to free you from the punishment of sin, which is death. And you have never fully believed that the resurrection that he did was a symbol of a new life that he would give you by believing in this. So peace starts there. So why does the peace sometimes go away? Well, if God's the one who brings peace to our lives, how much time are we really spending with the one who brings peace to us? You see, guys, God never left us. But we check out on him daily. So this summer, let's try something. Let's make him the first in everything. This is going to be hard for you. This is going to be hard for you. Because some of you are going to say, well, I'm going to set an alarm. Throw your phone out the dang window. Because I know what's going to happen. You're going to set an alarm. You're going to try to make Jesus first. And you're going to get that notification that somebody posted something on Instagram. You're going to go look at it. You're going, Then you're going to start rolling. 30 minutes later, after watching reel after reel after reel after reel, you're going, oh man, what happened to my day? We do it. I do it. I know some of you do too. Is he a priority? Let's make him that. But not only that, let's do like a good morning song. Let's lay it before Him. Let's lay it all on the line. Let's just get real. God, here's what I'm dealing with. You already knew it, but here it is, me saying it. Secondly, set the rhythm for your day. You can either set the rhythm for your day or you can let something set it for you. I don't know about you, but I'd rather set the rhythm for my day. And the thing that we need to set it with is our faith. But the last, ask for peace. Ask for peace. I don't know about you. Sounds like a good morning song to me. Father, You are our shield. You are the one who shows us Your glory and lifts our head. You are the one, Lord, that wants to just hear every bit of it from us. And You, Lord, are the one who sets the rhythm for our day. But also, Lord, You're the only one in which we can find peace. Father, use Your Holy Spirit to draw Your people however You desire. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in His glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We are located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.